This week on EverBank Jaguars Weekend, a dominant road win in the division, how the Jaguars dismantled the Colts, even with some key pieces on the sideline. And we get in the film room with head coach Doug Marone for a look at the best running game in football. Plus, the Jaguars team up with local schools to keep young athletes healthy. All that and more next on EverBank Jaguars Weekend.
This is EverBank Jaguars Weekend. EverBank, it's your money. Make the most of it.
How you feel right now? How I'm supposed to feel after every game? It's a standard. One game at a time, let's do this. Family on three. 1, 2, 3.
Family.
A happy locker room at Lucas Oil Stadium after one of the most dominant wins in recent team history. It's a win that keeps us busy flipping through the record books as well. And welcome into EverBank Jaguars Weekend. JP Shadrick with you. We've reached the bye week, and think about this. The Jags control their own destiny with a 4-3 record, and they have 9 games to play. We'll spend a little time today reviewing the ups and downs of the first 7 weeks, and a little more time looking ahead to the stretch run. But we start with last week's win in Indy. In a key swing game on the road, Blake Bortles led an offense without a few top players available to over 500 yards for the first time since 98.
You know, it's always good winning going to the bye week, but at the end of the day, we still know we got a lot of work to do as far as these games, so we're going to stay into it.
With their second 10-sack day of the season, the Jags defense is on pace to break the NFL single-season sack record held by the 1984 Chicago Bears.
It's a testament to, you know, the guys around us. You know, I mean, our linebackers and our DBs do a great job, you know, making quarterbacks hold the ball. You know, and if you give us extra split second with our talent, good things are going to happen.
The shutout was the first for the Jags since 2006, and the first Colts shutout loss since 1993.
For us to be able to go out and shut out a good team, that means that we're, all on our game. So, you know, that's pretty cool to be able to get that done and accomplish that as a defense. So that's what we expect to do.
We welcome in Brian Sexton and John Osier. We start with last week's game in Indy. You know, they were missing Fournette. Cam Robinson goes out in the second play of the game. Linder's been out a few weeks. A-Rob's out for the year. But they had guys step up and fill those roles in a big way last week.
Well, it's what they had to do Sunday. It's what they have to do going forward. I mean, this is an offense that has to be better than it was in most of the first 7 games in terms of passing better. It's a good sign that you can do it without Cam Robinson and Linder in particular, because you should get those guys back and Fournette back. This is a relatively healthy team going forward.
You know, I'd like to say that Dave Caldwell has quietly built a roster with some depth, but let's be honest. I mean, they've written some big checks. They haven't been quiet about it at all in the offseason. But the one area they have is along that offensive line. Chatley comes in and he hangs around a couple of years. Same thing with Josh Wells. 2 undrafted rookies who work tirelessly in the offseason with Tom Myslinski, get stronger. Plug him in, there they go. Yeldon's not active for, what, the first 6 weeks? Boom, there he goes. Quality depth and coaching, along with the contributions of guys like Calais Campbell and A.J. Boye, have exploded the last week or two.
Let's stay on the offensive theme, since that was a big part of last week. Blake Bortles was a big part of that, 330 yards. They could use some of that the rest of the season from Blake.
They could, and the question mark is which Blake is going to show up from week to week. It's no secret, John. His consistency has been inconsistent.
Yeah, and in two of the last 5 weeks, well, a little point to make, Brian. In 2 of the last 5 games, he's played well. Maybe 2 of his best career games in the last 5 games, if you take Baltimore and Indianapolis. Can he do that 4 or 5 of the next 9? If they do, I think they have a chance to win 5 or 6 more games.
Right.
If he doesn't.
But try and guess which one. Try and guess. If you say he will play consistently, you are going way out on a limb.
Quick thoughts about the defense here. 33 sacks through 7 games. That's the best number they've had through 7 games in franchise history. They're on the way to the franchise record. They're flirting with the NFL record. They're on pace for that. So far, so good on defense. Maybe the run D could use a little something.
Well, if there was a little bit of a red flag in this 27-0 victory, it was the fact that early on the Colts were able to get some movement running the ball. I think that's the formula, and that's the question going forward. Can this defense stop the run well enough, and can the offense get ahead enough to get the team to where it can swarm? And that's been the formula for success all year. I think it stays that way.
Yeah, defense.
When Paul Posluszny's not on the field and he's not in nickel, the run defense takes a hit.
We'll see what happens. Moving ahead here, the Jaguars have 9 to go, and there's more ahead on EverBank Jaguars Weekend. Jeff Lagerman sits down with head coach Doug Marone for a look at the best rushing attack in football. Plus, defensive tackle Malik Jackson mixes it up with all of his teammates in Jackson 5. And we'll see what's cooking this week on Game Day Grub. But first, Know Your Jaguars, presented by Fields Auto Group. And this week we're asking the guys, what's the best concert you've attended?
What's the best concert you've ever been to and why?
The best concert I ever went to was a John Legend, actually. And it was just dope. I went with my lady and just kept back, relaxed, got to meet him backstage afterwards. It was amazing.
When I was back home in D.C., I seen the Migos concert, and the energy and the enthusiasm they brought to the stage made that my favorite concert to attend. So
Kanye West, Jay-Z, Watch the Throne concert. It was in Dallas, and it was pretty live. I have to say, they kind of connected with the crowd there, and it was pretty awesome.
Best concert I've ever been to was a Wiz Khalifa concert, because he caters to his fans and makes sure that we hear everything that he has to offer.
Best concert I've ever been to was a Future concert.
Future concert.
Just the energy, you know, he brought out a big crowd.
Just because I'm a big Future fan, and he was also performing with Drake.
I've actually only been to one concert, and it was a Schoolboy Q concert.
I don't think I've been to a concert.
Ja Rule Ashanti at Super Bowl this year at the Barstool Party was the greatest concert I've ever been to.
That's bad that if I went to one and couldn't remember it, so I'm sorry, but if I came to your concert, I don't remember.
Jaguars Weekend is brought to you in part by EverBank. It's your money. Make the most of it. And GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com to see how much you could save.
Yeah, I'm glad I called you to come here, bro.
Sure.
I appreciate the call,
you know what I'm saying? No.
Call me the GM.
Malik Jackson and Calais Campbell on a winning sideline last week in Indianapolis. More with Malik Jackson coming up shortly. And welcome back to EverBank Jaguars Weekend. The Jags have the best rushing attack in the National Football League, but it's a group effort. Jeff Lagerman takes a closer look in the film room with head coach Doug Marone, and their conversation is presented by Cadillac.
Boy, it's good to have a bye week, isn't it, Doug?
Sure. After a win, it's sure good.
Well, and it's good to be at the bye with the number one rushing attack in the National Football League, as your offense is.
Well, it is, and it's one that we know that will be challenged each week. So, you know, right now we've been up for the challenge, but again, you know, each week the defense gives you a different challenge, and, you know, we have to have guys stepping up.
Well, and clearly it's an attitude thing, because here's a 2nd and 19 in which you guys are lining up and you're going to hand the ball to T.J. Yeldon. And I always thought that this is a challenging play for the center, and Tyler Shatley's doing a great job, but to snap and shotgun and to pull around is not easy.
No, it's not, and obviously it's a well-executed play. We think we can actually pin and cut the defense with the nose. The tackle here, Parnell has to do a good job of keeping him outside and not falling back inside. You know, and then obviously we have backers holding for the quarterback, obviously if it's an option or a boot coming out the backside. So you can see here we can cut the defense, get up on the linebacker, and really get our running back one-on-one with a safety.
Got an 11-yard gain, gives you an easier 3rd and 8 opportunity. In the very next play, you end up hitting a big play, which is, I think, like a 50-yarder, and that leads to points. And I wanted to put this play in here because you've got a guy next man up. We showed Tyler Shatley. We showed T.J. Yeldon. Here's Josh Wells at left tackle on an island. This is a play-action pass here. Not easy for anybody to block.
No, and you know, for us, obviously, right here, we talk about the depth of the pocket, making sure that everything's going around the quarterback so he can step up. And you can see here, you know, obviously there's really good depth in the pocket by the front three. Granted, they've only rushed one right there, but on the outside, you can see the pocket collapsing. And you can see here, Blake can step up, he can make this throw, keep his eyes down the field, and then obviously we have a big catch and a run after the catch.
And a 3rd and 10 here, which was big, because that actually leads to this play that we're gonna look at, and this is T.J. Yeldon on a 58-yard run. And it's probably not Tyler Shatley's best block in the world, but look, if you're gonna miss, that's the way you want to make a miss, right? Or to have to miss.
Well, it's bad. I mean, I'm not gonna sit there and say it's not. And Tyler would tell you it's bad too. Again, he just overcommitted. He had help by the left guard. Really here, Wells does a nice job keeping him outside. But really, one of the key blocks on this play is Alan Hearns. Some of the things you don't see, he's coming in here, and you can see the safety really leaning outside and gets himself, you know, out of whack. And now T.J. can go up and then back outside, and I was hoping that he can make it all the way in, and he did.
Well, he did a great job, and he kind of running out of gas, but did the dive thing,
exactly.
So good things. Thank you, Doug. Enjoy your bye week.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Each week, defensive tackle Malik Jackson catches up with a teammate. This week, he has all of his teammates. Here's Jackson 5.
Welcome to the Jackson 5, and today we're at the 2017 Jaguars Pitcher Day. Let's ask some guys what's the best part of their break. So, what are you guys most happy about being on the bye week, or doing on the bye week?
We're happy that you finally look decent in the jersey.
Yeah.
Boy, you look bad.
You can see I'm working on my abs. Working on my abs real hard.
Hey, you need to work on getting a new barber, but that's what you need to do.
Yeah, nah. Nah, I'm fly. See the hate. It's real hate that comes out of that group right there. They just mad because I'm the best lineman. Oh, yeah, we got you right here.
Hey, we're trying to go.
Okay. My bad. Hold on, we gotta wait. Get some other guy. Oh, TJ, here we go, TJ. Coach. What's the best part of you being on your bye week and what you got going on?
Going to see the family.
Simple man. Miles Jack. No! He's our great equipment manager. What's the best part about the break and what you got going on?
Get to sleep in a little bit Saturday morning, then maybe get to watch my Yellow Jackets.
Oh, the Yellow Jackets. We beat them in the beginning of the season. Tennessee did. So, yeah, I'm sure you did. Oh, grandfather time himself, Calais Campbell.
Hey, the legend lift, baby.
If you say so. What's the best part about the break? What you got going on?
Man, the best part about the break, man, is really get away from the game for a little bit, man. So when we come back full tilt. We got 9 weeks to try to get four more. And so, you know, I'm just trying to get my mind right.
Hear you. I'm the one and only. Thank y'all. Aurelius. What's the best part about going on break for you? What are you gonna do?
Get some rest, man.
Get some rest?
Number one thing, get some rest.
Get some rest, man.
Yeah.
This is our new guy, new kicker. Introduce yourself.
I am Josh Lambeau, number four.
What's the best part of the break going for you?
Getting to go back to California and have In-N-Out.
I agree. What part of California?
Orange County.
Oh, a little southern than me. I'm in L.A., but hey, I might run into you. What's the best part of going on break, Puss, for you in your bye week?
Best part of going on break?
Yeah.
I know the worst part of going on break is I'm not going to be able to see you every day. I know that's the worst part right there.
Hope you guys had a great time on the Jackson 5 today. It was definitely fun for me. I'll see you guys next week.
There's still more to come on EverBank Jaguars Weekend. Up next, we'll see what's cooking this week on Game Day Grub. And the Jaguars team up with local schools to help young athletes stay healthy.
Hey, Apollo was going to come get you.
Oh, no.
Apollo's going to run him down. I was going to run him down.
Defensive captain Telvin Smith mic'd up against the Colts. He's always a fun listen. Check out the full mic'd up segment each week on Jaguars.com. Welcome back to EverBank Jaguars Weekend. It's time to head into the kitchen for Game Day Grub, presented by Tico People's Gas. Angie Baselli and Chef Tony have an easy handheld favorite.
Welcome back to Game Day Grub, presented by Tico People's Gas. We're in this beautiful Dreamfinders Homes model, which is a natural gas community in Longfield Preserve. And I am with Chef Tony, and Seattle does not have the corner on the salmon market, and we're here to prove it, right?
That's right. See, we love to eat salmon down here, too. It's part of a good, healthy diet. Gives us some great fish oils, helps us out. So we want to make sure we incorporate that into something fun for the stadium, at the field, on your grill. So salmon burgers it is.
Show us how it's done, mister.
You like a little salmon burger?
Love salmon burgers.
So in our food processor, I've got some salmon. I've gone ahead and pureed it up some with some mustard, a little bit of salt and pepper. I want you to add some whole wheat breadcrumbs for me.
All right.
And then we're going to add some shallots.
Perfect. Diced beautifully by you, of course.
Well, you know, I have a pretty
nice
good hand with that.
So. The man here.
And we're just going to turn this until that starts to incorporate and gets a little bit smoother. Again, all of our binders inside of here, we're not adding egg yolks or anything, so we're keeping some of that fat out. The fish has plenty. I'm going to take the lid off. There's some another bowl of salmon right there cut into cubes. Put that in for me.
I love how meaty this is. Like you said, it's not got a bunch of junk in it. It's really
right
salmon.
Right there, right? So
yes.
The key here is to pulse and let the heavy fish fall down to the bottom but to keep it in chunks. So we want a textural change as we're in our burger as we're eating it.
Okay.
And that's just about there.
I tend to make things into mincemeat, and this prevents that. Add some of the meat later.
Yeah, we can keep it, and you know, you can dice it, or you can show off your knife skills for Tony and the kids.
We like the
cuisine. Or you can use this. It's all good. So what we're going to do is I'm going to patty this up into some beautiful burgers. We're going to put it on our grill pan, and we'll cook it off, and we're going to show the turn, if you will, when how it cooks beautifully and what we're going to finish with. All right, Angie, look at our salmon burgers in our grill pan here on the stove top. Again, it's going right.
It's beautiful.
And look, no oil in the pan. We flip it nice and easy. It is the grill pan. It's a ceramic grill pan. But look at the grill marks, right? That's from the natural gas heat. Again, over and over, this heat performs the way that we want it to, cooking our food evenly, heating our pan evenly, and giving us enough heat that we can use little to no oil in our pan to keep it healthy. So
it keeps it low fat, and it cooks it perfect. It looks like you've been out in the heat doing this.
No.
Instead, you're in the comfort of air conditioning.
Right,
I love it.
Right here in our own kitchen at Drinkfinder's home. This is a beautiful thing. Now, we'll finish this off on a whole wheat bun.
Perfect.
We have a little of a roasted red onion and caper spread. Mm-hmm. And we have some tomatoes and lettuce to go with it. And that's our salmon burger.
I'm always hungry. This looks amazing.
For the salmon burger recipe and a look at all the Game Day Grub segments, make sure you visit peoplesgas.com/cooking. Protecting our youth on the field, the Jaguars have teamed up with Duval County Schools for a project to keep athletes healthy. Brian Sexton has more in this Baptist Health feature.
Project 17 began as an ambitious idea. The NFL, the Jaguars, and their partners wanted to make sure that kids in North Florida would have access to the kind of sports medicine the pros have. Jacksonville Sports Medicine began an aggressive attempt to that end in 2015. When they placed full-time athletic trainers at 7 Duval County Public High Schools. 2 years later, the National Athletic Trainers Association named those 7 schools safe schools, acknowledging the impact the program has had.
Our population continues to grow. The number of schools that we have in Jacksonville continues to expand. So having the backing of a big organization like the NFL makes it a lot easier to say, hey, this is important, and we need to get as many athletic trainers in as many schools as possible in the coming years.
It's natural to assume that because the Jaguars helped conceive the program, it's primarily a football-based initiative. Project 17 wants much more than that.
At any level of sport, whether it's football or basketball, in professional, collegiate, high school, you're going to have injuries. And to have a trained medical professional at every game, at every sideline, even at every practice, is important. The kids love it to have someone to turn to. And you go down with an injury, for an athlete, and for these students, it's kind of scary.
Today, there are athletic trainers at 12 of the 17 Duval County Public High Schools, with plans to cover all 17 by 2020. Brooks Rehabilitation, Memorial Hospital, and Florida Blue have joined the effort, committing nearly $250,000. Project 17 is proof that a good idea backed by the right people can make a big difference in a short period of time. For Jaguars Weekend, I'm Brian Sexton.
Thanks, Brian. Up next, a look ahead to the stretch run. Stay with us on EverBank Jaguars Weekend.
Make sure you get your mind off football for a little bit. And then, but to take care of my body, still doing some workouts, and you know, so you really can't get all the way away from it. But you know, I plan to watch a lot of football, you know, like I always do, and you know, just come back, you know, ready to ball out.
The bye week's a perfect time for this Jaguars team to get healthy and get set for the stretch run. And welcome back to EverBank Jaguars Weekend. The Jags have 5 of the next 7 games at EverBank Field. They haven't played well at EverBank Field. They've got to turn that around quick here.
Well, it's all out there in front of them, and I maintain that as this team continues to get better, which I believe it's getting better, then the stuff in EverBank Field will work itself out. A team with a good defense and a good running game, which this team is, eventually is going to start winning at home just by default.
I agree with that. Doug Marrone told us on Jags Drive Time a couple weeks ago that playoff teams are no worse than 6-2 at home. Well, that puts a little pressure on you because they've lost 2 at home already. Got to get going.
They've got to keep it consistently positive on offense. The run game's been there throughout the season, with or without Fournette, at least for one game we've seen that. Got to get something going consistently in the passing game. A balanced attack would be nice for this offense.
Well, we talked about Blake and finding the receivers down the field and Keelan Cole's contribution, but the offensive line did a terrific job last week. They kept him clean, and he was comfortable in the pocket.
I think what came out of the Indy game to me, Blake's going to get a chance to play that way at times going forward. I thought going into that game against the Rams, they were too tentative to use him in that way. He's going to get his opportunity to show what kind of quarterback he can be, because he's going to face eight in the box the rest of the season. So he's going to have his chances.
And the final thought on defense here, we know what they've done already, but they're on pace for some special things. What else can this defense do?
I'd like to see them keep the takeaways going. They didn't get any last week. They lead the league with 16 still. Let's get that number up to 25, 27, 30 by the time the season's done.
As long as they rush the quarterback this way, the takeaways will come.
I like it. Jags are in good shape. 4-3, tied for first atop the AFC South. They're off this week. We'll see you next week on EverBank Jaguars Weekend.